is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday the 21st of May. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely lovely...
It's Bird on the Bike.
It's Miss Bird on a Bike.
I am full of sugar. It's unbelievable.
I know. We're all fed up and
eating
out here, aren't we? Cheesecake.
I don't even know what to say, really, if I'm honest. I'm supposed to be professional, but I can't be.
No. I've eaten my cheesecake.
I've never known the studio so quiet 5 minutes before we're due on air.
No, absolutely. So our guest later in the show has kindly bought loads of scrummy food, which we'll talk about later in the show. But we've got two great guests to talk to today. So thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. I want to say a huge thank you, first of all, to this week's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at ZC Social Media. And we're talking about their upcoming event.
Do you want me to fill in while you...
No, it's okay. I have a quick bite of cheesecake there.
It's so funny.
Their upcoming event, ZC Live, is back for the third year running. It's on the 31st of May at the Strood Academy. And the ZC team are super excited and have lined up an amazing agenda, which will be revealed over the coming 2 weeks before the event. It's entirely
free. You can't
free.
Get your teeth round this, can
I
you?
Well, yeah, I've got a strawberry in my tooth
keep
at
going,
the moment.
Keep going, love. Keep going. You're doing well.
I forgot where I was now.
You were talking about ZC Live.
It's free. It's free to attend.
How much?
It's free.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how much it is. Free. Good. There's a breakfast to attend as well, which starts at 8, from 8 until 9. Full breakfast, and you can go to that. And then during the day, there's workshops on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, LinkedIn and Twitter. Some of the speakers, I don't have a full list of all of them, but some of them are David Pepper, who's from Twitter, Kevin Thorpe from Big Jam Studios, Andy Lambert from Content Cow, and Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. If you want to get your free ticket, and I suggest you want to book it now, because last year there were over 500 people there, and I'm expecting there to be more this year. It's a fantastic event. Go to eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Live 2019 tickets. So, see you there. 31st of May, Strood Academy.
Nice. Not going to get much out of me today.
No, well, you're eating. Everyone's eating in the studio, so it looks like I'm doing the show on my own. Luckily, I finished eating because I ate mine before we went on air.
Did you?
Yeah. Look, it's empty.
Wow. Apparently, Peter said it's fat-free.
Yeah, totally no calories. I told Amanda that before I started eating it.
It was so light and airy.
Yeah, exactly. It is gorgeous. It is absolutely lovely. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. In the second half of the show, when we talk to Peter.
You sound like you're slithering, do you know what I mean?
I know. All the food's lined up in front of me, and I'm looking at it, and I haven't had lunch, and I'm going, do you know what? I might abandon this show and just go for a picnic.
It is picnicky thing.
It is.
Anyway,
it's
yes.
gorgeous. And the smells coming over here are unbelievably good.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What's new this week?
Well, not a lot.
Oh, really?
It's only Tuesday.
No, you say this every time, I haven't seen you for 7 days.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's talk about the last 7 days. How's business for you?
The elapsed week.
Yeah.
Fairly much the same as it has been just recently.
Is that what you want?
No.
Beautiful. How do you change that around?
There's not a lot we can do at the moment. It's as everyone knows, we're in this kind of half-life while our politicians decide to destroy the country one way or another. With their
did you just say destroy the country?
Yeah, with their ineptitude and inability to do anything.
Uh-huh.
And as anybody in business knows, uncertainty is always the killer. It actually doesn't matter what you choose, and it doesn't matter which route you go, we'll adapt. But while we don't know, we can't do anything. And that's the problem, is that everybody's sitting there going, well, I don't know. Peter's just shown me a thing that came out that the Jamie Oliver restaurant chain has collapsed.
Never surprises me.
Yep. Mm. So they've gone bust. And also I saw today British Steel are in trouble and are threatening closure unless they get £75 million.
Mm.
So all of those kind of things are the kind of things that happen.
How much do they want?
£75 million.
We could help.
Yeah.
Let's
do it. Well, go through your purse later.
Yeah, you won't find it there.
Yeah, you must have it down the back of your sofa or something.
Yes.
Small change.
One of those days, eh? Mm. When you put your hand down the back of the sofa.
Yeah, and find £75 million you didn't
just
know there was
find
there.
It.
I know. It happens to me all the time, that. So, yeah, we're in odd times because there's no...
So what do we do? We're in these odd times. That's great. We keep saying about it. I'm a bit bored with us all talking about it. I'm not being funny,
no,
but
absolutely.
It's
Everyone
a really
is,
good reason not to do something.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
Well, basically, you have to start making decisions based on what you think might happen, really, when you're in business. You have to try and drive your way out of it, really.
Do you know, I see this quite a lot in the social media world. They're all going, oh, what's the next best thing? What's the next platform? Where should we... Isn't it not about predicting what it's going to be? It's about making where you are an attention-grabbing space.
Yep.
Isn't that what we should do then? Isn't that we should just create our own pathway to success?
Yeah, I think...
Instead of trying to predict, because you can't.
Yeah, no, and do you know what? To be perfectly honest, I actually know the numbers on this, sadly. 92% of businesses that do no business outside the UK. If you think about it, vast majority of businesses are just, you know, like hairdressers, plumbers and stuff like that. Brexit doesn't affect them one way or another, really.
So we're just, if we're really honest,
it's just...
We're using this a little bit?
Yeah, we are. It's just, no.
To not make decisions?
No, I think, yeah, well, that's true. That is true. But I think it's everybody's scared because they don't know what's going to happen. And because you get into that frame of mind, then you don't make decisions that you would normally make, you know, like to move premises or to redecorate your premises or to build an extension or to, you know, invest in new staff or whatever, you know. And also we have problems with staff as well because you can't get any. So there are issues that we face too that just aren't being addressed because everybody's obsessed with what is or isn't happening in Westminster.
So we want them to make a decision, yay or nay.
Yeah, just get on with it. Just do something.
So that we can stop faffing about. Right, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, just stop faffing about. What you need is certainty. People don't like uncertainty. That's the thing that destabilises everything, in my opinion, anyway. Anyway, we'd like to hear from you. We didn't want to hear from me. We want to hear from you. All those businesses out there in the southeast of England, you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You can, in fact, call me. On 01233 220035, that's Ashford, 01233 220035. You could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show and to send us gifts.
We love gifts and flowers.
We love a gift on the show.
I thought you meant gifts.
No, gift.
Both.
Yeah. You can interact with me live by tweeting me at VanillaWeb, and please use the hashtag BBunker so that we can find you. We have already had quite a few tweets, and we will read some of those out in a moment. In fact, Bird, do you want to read one out now?
I'm going to read it first off because it's Tracy Ferguson. She's always very supportive of us. She's a great supporter of the show.
Yeah.
And she's not able to listen to us today. She's in Faversham today delivering a Be Your Best Self workshop. So she'll look forward to catching up with the conversation later tonight. I can see in my eye line what you're doing. So have a great show. Now, it's really interesting because I actually quite enjoy in the evening catching up with Tracy's little, what she's taken from the show. And it's sort of really quite a nice resume of what she feels is of value to her in business.
Absolutely. And I also noticed what you did there with a little bit of a subliminal plug.
I'm not plugging my show.
No, you said...
I'm not plugging the conversation tomorrow from 1 till 2. I'm not doing it today.
Are you not?
I'm not doing it. I don't need to.
Did you hear what she said? What you said, she said. You said she'll catch up with the conversation later. I see what you did there. That was subliminal marketing, that was.
Well, I tell you what, when I first came up with the idea, because you and I sat down over, obviously, a coffee and a packet of fag type of thing, wasn't it? Should we do this? Like 5 years ago? And it's really interesting watching how the conversation, that phrase is getting bigger and bigger and people are using it more and more and more. Not because, obviously, it's my show, but because it's the way we're actually wanting to talk now.
Mm, absolutely. And it's a great show.
Thanks.
And it's on 1 o'clock on a Wednesday. Yeah.
I've got property investor on tomorrow.
Have
really
you?
Interesting. Yeah. He does a lot of student property developing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, and also how to invest your money.
Is he a local guy?
No, he's not. I try not to get too many local. I want to get people who you wouldn't necessarily have heard of before.
Right.
Who are absolutely smashing it in their niche marketplace.
Right, okay.
And doing something different and saying something different and poking the bear. Right. Like last week's guest, Tom Evans, he was a real spiritual leader and he was talking about time travel. And it really poked a few people.
I haven't listened to that yet, but I've seen loads of conversations on Twitter about it.
So that's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah,
like here,
of course.
It's not that I'm being antagonistic. Or poking you. I just want to hear a 360 of what's going on in business.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a conversation.
Nothing wrong.
Just don't throw a milkshake, that's all.
I don't get it.
Oh, okay.
I don't get it.
You haven't been watching the news.
I don't watch
it's
news.
It's a new thing, no. People have been throwing milkshakes at people. Why? That they don't agree with. Seems to be a new thing. I know, exactly.
Grow up.
Exactly. I've had a tweet from Deborah Turner of You Image Consult. That's her Twitter handle. And she says, "Hi, Vanilla Web, Bird and Bike, Business Bunker. Could we have a massive shout out, please, for RY Brilliance?" That's Release Your Brilliance. The Twitter handle is RY Brilliance. It's an event on the 4th of June at Brands Hatch Place Hotel. That's behind the circuit there at Falcombe. It's with me, Ali Harold. And is it Julie Bartlett?
It is Julie Bartlett, yeah.
And it's going to be absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
Of course.
Of course it is, Deborah. So do check that out. That's Release Your Brilliance. It's an event on the 4th of June at the Brands Hatch Place Hotel. If you follow Deborah on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is YouImageConsult, then you can find out all about it and book your place.
No, I know they've not got many tickets, and it is an all-day event, and you get lunch and everything. So no reason not to go. So get your ticket booked. It's £39. It's great price. Brands Hatch, love Brands Hatch.
It's a fabulous hotel, yeah, Brands Hatch Place, yeah.
Yeah.
Loads of parking there as well, so it's handy.
We've got our first gift.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've got a thank you.
Have you?
Yeah. Go on then.
Go on then.
We have Ethel Bray Limited. Thanks, Ethel Bray. Vanilla Web, Bird and a Bike, Business Bunker. Can we have a huge thank you to all those who sponsored Kate for 100,000 steps for guide dogs? Also, a massive thank you to you, our fab associates. We're its finalists in the National Family Business Awards 2019.
Oh, congratulations.
How amazing is that? So yeah, in July. Well, and couldn't have done it without them. Well done. Brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic. On both accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100,000 steps.
Mm.
I don't think I've done that many in my life.
Of course you have. It's 10,000. You're supposed to do 10,000 a day.
A day.
But you know that's nonsense, right? You know it's a Japanese marketing
ploy. Yeah.
It was nothing to do with health or wealth.
Yeah,
or
which is
like
why
that.
I limit myself to 100
exactly.
steps
well
a day.
Exactly, well done. Well done. You're no fool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why I lay on the sofa all day reading books.
Good Lord.
I had a tweet from Terry Botfield, who has the best Twitter handle ever, at TD Botty. And do give him a follow, Mr. TD Botty. And he says, "Have a great show on the Business Bunker. Marsh Breakfast Networking, 7:45 a.m. this Thursday at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch. Grow your network and business and enjoy a great full English breakfast." So 7:45 a.m, that's a civilised time, at the Ship in Dymchurch. That's on the High Street there in Dymchurch. It's a really nice place as well. So do get along this Thursday, Marsh Networking.
Nice. And so Tracy's gone on again. I love it. "Can Freya and I have a Business Bunker shout out, please, for our kids? Free." That's free. "Fun and creative drama."
How much is it?
It's free.
Is it?
And it's an Express Yourself workshop. It's for kids aged 7 to 11 on a Tuesday, 28th of May in Maidstone. And that's sponsored by Golding Vision. So you can go on to the link, can be booked, and it's Express Yourself workshop at Eventbrite. So go and have a look at it. Go on, what are you doing down there? Your cheesecake's not on the floor, love.
No, I know. See, I had to put all my emails on the floor so I had room to eat my cheesecake. That was the thing. So I have to keep reaching down for them. I've had an email from these lovely folks.
Do you want a serviette because you're drooling?
No, I'm drooling, yeah. I've had this email. It says, "When I became chair in April of the Wealden Business Group, one of the things I was determined to do was to attract to the group members with young businesses. With that in mind, we've launched the Wealden Business Group Springboard, a membership available to those with businesses less than 2 years old. The term of this deal are that there is no subscription fee for the first 12 months of membership. In addition, the weekly networking fee for the first year is frozen at £20. The referral record of our networking group is impressive. There's also a wealth of expertise and advice available from our different members, for which there is no cost. We're a friendly, energetic group who are socially active and wish to support young businesses. I believe Springboard will be of great interest to the young business entrepreneurs amongst the listeners of the Business Bunker Show. If you'd like to find out more about the Wealden Business Group, their website is wealdenbusinessgroup.co.uk. And I happen to know they meet at the Little Silver Spring Hotel in St. Michael's Tenterton on Wednesdays, I do believe, Wednesday mornings. But check it out. It's all on the website. Have a look.
Nice. Keep going.
Oh.
I'm just answering some tweets.
You're eating, are you?
I'm not eating. I'm going to wait until the song.
Are you?
It better be a long one, like 8 minutes or something. Is it Bohemian Rhapsody or something?
No, not quite. Not quite. Okay, well,
What have you got?
Well, I've got Save the Date. Put our annual Southeast Construction Exhibition in your 2019 diary. It's on Thursday the 26th of September, and it's at the South of England Event Centre, which is in Ardingly in Sussex. And you can book your place by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk. There's also, for the first time this year, construction awards for the Southeast. So if you're in a construction business in the Southeast of England, you can put yourself forward for an award in the Construction Expo Awards. The platinum sponsor of this year's awards is the lovely folks at All Health Matters, who are an occupational health company. And if you want to find out what all the different criteria are and all the different awards and how to enter, the easiest thing is to go to their website, which is constructionexpoawards.co.uk.
Also, let me just move my cheesecake off my emails and place it down. Dementia Action Week. Monday, 20th of May to Sunday, the 26th of May, is Dementia Action Week. It is a week that unities individuals, workplaces and communities to act and improve the lives of people living with dementia. So Kent Community Foundation, KCF, is delighted to have awarded grants to some amazing dementia projects throughout Kent and media, and during Dementia Action Week would like to share some of the great activities taking place in the county. So here's some. You've got Bright Shadow. Bright Shadow in East Kent is an innovative community arts organisation which enables people living with dementia and those who care for them to live well and to thrive. Do you know what? There is so much evidence in creativity and how you and I can create more, therefore we become greater in our health and well-being. Now, Bright Shadow offers creative sessions for people in the community or in care homes living with dementia and has received grants totalling £19,000. You've then got Memory Lane Cafe, which is in Cranbrook, and this was created to help those with memory difficulties and received grants of £11,500 from KCF. And this group from Cranbrook and its neighbouring villages come together each month for a conversation, see what I've done there, music and theme nostalgia. So I love that, just bringing back those memories from times gone, not actually what did you have for lunch today, because it's not the same. And then you've got Tunbridge Wells Puppetry Festival. Tunbridge Wells Puppetry Festival, in partnership with the Age UK Tunbridge Wells and Smoking Apples Theatre Company, created a community arts. And they've had a grant of £4,500. And then we've got the final one, which is the Funder Films CIC. And Funder Films held a Few Words About Me poetry workshop hosted by a poetry therapist, Victoria Field, and for people living with dementia in Canterbury. Now, this received a grant of £5,000 from the KCF. Amazing, amazing things. I cannot emphasise enough how creativity stimulates the mind to actually build health and well-being of the person. So to apply for funding, go through KCF, which is Kent Community Foundation, and you need to visit www.kencf.org.uk/apply.
Do you know what? It's funny. A bit of a name drop in here.
Haha, funny?
Well, interesting funny, I hope. I was talking to the head of Apple for Europe on Saturday at a party.
How?
Oh, don't worry about that. I was chatting to the head of Apple Europe at a party on Saturday, and we were talking about creativity. And we were talking about the 30-30 programme that we do in schools, which I'll tell you about later, and the fact that we talk to pupils about the world of work. And we had a lovely conversation about the world of work and creativity, and he was totally on board. I was really made up by this. He was talking about how they'd like to hire creative people, and you don't find creative people in the usual places. Yeah, people from all kinds of walks of life are creative, not just Oxbridge graduates, who quite invariably aren't creative.
They're not programmed to be.
No, exactly. And that was exactly his point. The problem with our education system is they don't actually cater for creativity. It caters for being able to get the right answer by thinking in the right way. And we had a fantastic conversation about creativity and various ways of looking at it. Obviously, we talked about people with things like Asperger's and autism and stuff like that, and totally on board with the fact that they can provide very creative and focused people. So as an organisation, Apple are very keen on looking at outside the box, if you like, for creativity.
Well, it's Apple wouldn't have been created if they kept it inside the box, would they?
Exactly. Yeah, you know? Exactly. And that's exactly the point.
Trailblazing can't be, you know, if somebody's...
Trailblazing stupidity, really.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. We're just looking at starting a new business and and we're talking about, you know, doing market research. And we've talked about market research before. Mm. Now, yes, it has some credence and it does help sometimes. But could you imagine if Apple... or, you know, Facebook, well, Uber or anybody or Amazon had gone and said, what do you think of this? Nobody, one, would have ever invested in it. Go on, I know you're ready to jump on this. Or two, even thought the idea would have ever worked.
It's one of my big things. One of the things I dislike more than anything, and I know why they do it, but when people talk to successful business people, they almost invariably say the same thing. They say, I spotted a gap in the market. No, they didn't. Gaps in the market don't exist unless there's no reason to fill them. Most innovations in this world are created by off-the-wall weirdos who actually then push something to make you want it. Yeah. Nobody was clamoring for a device that you carried in your pocket that cost £1,000 that enabled you to do emails. Nobody, not one single person asked for that.
No.
Yeah.
And you hear this all the time. Oh, create something that is needed.
Yeah.
I didn't need a smartphone that I didn't know even exist.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know I needed a bookstore that then turned into the greatest way that you shop now online.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly the reality of things that people never, ever understand, is that one thing leads to another. A process of evolution is what you're doing.
Would you have gone and stayed in somebody's house?
No, and it's like,
and that's the honesty, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Crazy.
You know, would you book a cab from a driver? You know, that's never had a taxi lesson in it. No. It's
four biggest companies.
Yeah, yeah.
They own zero.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a new way of looking at things, but that's always been the case as well. You know, products and services get invented or get developed that people don't know they need. Sometimes when you do see a need, it doesn't work. I'll give you a classic example of that, which was video phone calls. The technology behind video phone calls went mainstream in 1963.
Mm.
Okay. It took until 1999, 2000, before anybody bothered to use it. Because no matter how hard they tried to sell it, nobody wanted it. And it was only when smartphones came along and somebody chucked it on the side that everybody started doing things. And then Skype came along and everyone went, oh, well, I'll Skype then.
Mm.
Yeah. But that technology had been around for 40 years and nobody had used it.
But here's the thing, and this is what I love about this regeneration of it all. Are you using Skype and Zoom much now? As you were.
No.
Much less. I'm using it much less.
Yeah.
And because of the technology in my car, I do a lot of meetings now in my car because that's time that's wasted.
It's where she lives.
Live in a little car.
Yeah. She's parked up on the beach in Hive in her car. When she said she moved, what she meant was she was evicted and she's living in her car on the beach.
I know. I would, though. Anyway, Stephen's probably thinking, yes, you go, love. You go and live in your car. But I just think technology now has taken us into the next place of how we utilise our time.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Interesting days.
Days ahead.
Very interesting
days. Therefore, it takes us back to the beginning conversation, which was there is no certainty.
No,
so why are we holding on to it as before we even need to make decisions? Just go and do
it. Well, I don't want to use the word failure because that's not fair, because it takes all kinds to make a world. But that's where people... Somebody said to me the other day, and I thought about it for a little while, I thought, do you know what, you're right. A very successful business person said to me, do you know what makes me really laugh? And I went, what's that? They said, universities that try to teach entrepreneurship.
Yes.
What a ridiculous thing that is. And I kind of thought about it. I thought, you know what? You're right. It's not teachable. You can't teach things like that. It's just not teachable. It's because entrepreneurship is whatever you make of it. It's whatever you choose to do with it. It's, you know, it's just doing stuff and seeing what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what's to teach?
Well, you and I get really excited when we meet people who we can see are just going, bah, 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 and you go, yeah, that's entrepreneurship. That.
Yeah.
It takes a real certain part. I'm not an entrepreneur.
Mm.
I'm just not. I just like getting stuff done.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be in business.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
Because else I would dabble in everything.
Well, I think that's a lot of the confusion as well, is what an entrepreneur actually means, you know, whether it's a business person or whatever. But at the end of the day, all of these things are a process of evolution. And it's my experience that when you start off doing something with an idea, invariably you don't actually always end up where you thought you'd end up. Sometimes you end up better off.
Always.
Yeah. Mm. Or in a very different place to where you thought you might end up. Yeah. Because, you know, feedback happens on the way on a journey somewhere.
Do you listen to feedback? Oh, it's like just a dual log today, and it's not a monologue. It's just like, please join in, guest. You've been very quiet.
I've got to play a record in a minute.
I know.
Sometimes you listen to all feedback. You don't always take it on board, but you listen to all feedback. And sometimes it tells you something useful, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it tells you something useful and you don't realise, yeah? And you carry on blindly doing what you were doing anyway. So it's a bit hit and miss. And I'm not a great fan of catch-all things, you know, like do this and you'll succeed. I just don't believe them, yeah? Mm. I think life's too random for things like that. Sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's timing. Sometimes you have an idea to do something that just doesn't work, and in 5 years' time, you could make millions out of it.
It's always timing.
Yeah.
It's always timing.
Yeah. And somebody, I didn't answer this because I didn't want to upset his stream, but Neville asked a question this morning on Twitter.
I saw,
yeah. What would you tell your 16-year-old self? Well, my answer to that would be invent Facebook. I don't think I don't really think that's what he meant, but there you go.
Would you want to invent Facebook, though? That's the interesting thing. Very interesting to see what he's doing at the minute.
Who's Zuckerberg?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a clever man.
Yeah, he is.
He's getting beaten up terrible.
Well, yeah, and he probably deserves it as well.
Sorry, Mark.
You know, the trouble with big corporations like that is they eventually succumb to politics, don't they? And that's where it all goes wrong.
Yeah, anyway. Cool.
Anyway, do you know what?
What?
We're going to play some Chenage.
What have you got?
Well, it's a little bit related to Denise. A little bit. Not really, but a little bit.
Okay, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Quite clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heartlife.
Yeah.
Heart.
No, Big Michael House in the Country. Blur. It is Blur.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Heartlife would be
better. Yeah. Successful fella. Thought to himself, oops, I've got a lot of money. I'm paying the price of living life at the limit. Caught up in the centuries, anxiety. Yes, it preys on him. Bedtime syndrome. Lives in a house, very big house in the country. Watching up the new repeats and the food he eats in the country. He takes a manner of pills and piles up all his spells in the country. He's got morning glory and life's a different story. Everything's going jack and jolly. In touch with his own mortality. He's reading balls and looking bad prose. It's a helping hand that makes you feel rubbish and blind. Oh, it's a century's remedy. But the thing that haunts Star Trek simple. Lives in a house, a very big house in the country. Chest, so he needs a lot of rest in the country. He doesn't drink, smoke, laugh, takes herbal baths in the country. Fish have come to no harm on the animal farm in the country. In the country. In the country. I'm so sorry.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses, free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live. Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely lovely
Sarah Ann Lucas.
Sarah Ann Lucas. She's gone all formal now. She's stopped being Bird on a Bike and become Sarah Ann Lucas.
I know. I'm just enjoying the whole moment today.
Are you?
Yeah. You? How are you?
I'm all right, Sarah. Thank you.
You're right, Sarah. You never. In fact, I think that's the only time you've ever called me Sarah.
I know.
Do you want my serviette?
No, I got one. Thank you. Well, I'm dribbling.
Best you use it.
Mm-hmm. What are you trying to say?
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back. We've still got two great guests for you to talk to. We've still got loads of tweets coming in. Do keep them coming in. We've had a tweet from Bowden PR following up on the on the email you read about Dementia Week, Action Week. And they're saying, yes, this week is Dementia Action Week. And Kent Community is delighted to support some of the innovative dementia projects throughout Kent and Medway. So thank you. That's Christina at Bowden PR. Thank you very much for that.
So I love this tweet. And it's just saying, I've just gone by it now. It says, and I love it, oh, no, I've lost it. Why is that happening? Oh, no, carry on. Oh, you can't, can you? You can't talk at all, can you? So we've got Fit for Trade Limited, Vanilla Web. Oh, it's all right, I'll help you out. Can you give us a shout out, please? We're hosting seminars Wednesday and Thursday, and that's Fit Show 2019.
I've just had a message.
You're in trouble, aren't you?
It says, what are you eating? And it's in capitals.
Can I help you out here? Or?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm going home tonight, no.
I can't lie.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. I'm the worst words for lying.
They made me. I didn't want to eat it. They made me.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Fruit Bowl Media, and they say, hello, Bird on a Bike and Vanilla Web. Why don't come and meet us at Tech Expo UK? We're for web design, digital marketing, content campaigns and professional podcasting studio hire. So do check them out, Fruit Bowl Media on the Twitter, or come and see them at the Tech Expo at the Kent Event Centre in September.
Well, here's an interesting one. So I found it. So it says, this is from Michael Park Surveyors, Denise. So it says, we are so excited not to request our usual business bunger shout out with Vanilla Web today, but to rather be in the studio in person today. So please tune in and join the conversation and listen live from your browser to use your favourite media player. And that's because Denise is in with us.
Absolutely. So why don't we introduce Denise and talk to her?
Beautifully
done. Isn't that well produced and put together?
I told you we spent hours.
Yeah. Perfecting this. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Denise Ford from Michael Park Surveyors Limited. Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Michael Parks are really great supporters of the show, and you always kind of listening to us and tweet away and stuff. So it's a pleasure to actually have you on the show. And of course, you guys are commercial estate agencies, really what you are, aren't you?
Thank you.
Yeah. And off air, we were just saying how commercial property is a big thing at the moment because office space is in short supply. And the changing nature of office, you know, we've had, Bird and I have had a few conversations already today about the changing nature of things. And of course, part of that reflects in the type of space that people need. But why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about Michael Parks, who you are, where you're based, what you do, how long you've been around and what you specialise in?
Well, Michael Parks are a firm of chartered surveyors and town planners. We've been around now for about 36 years.
Right.
Based on the Medway City Estate in Rochester, we've always been in the Medway towns. We are commercial estate agents, property managers. We do residential property, block management as well.
Right, okay.
Town planning and valuation services.
Okay, cool. So you do the full range of things. But you specialise totally in commercial properties. You don't touch domestic properties.
We don't sell.
You can't sell my house.
No,
okay, cool. It's not up for sale either.
I was going to say.
We'll let it for you. do you specialise in properties in the Midway area or do you go outside that?
We will value properties and do town planning on properties all over the South East, but we concentrate on commercial property in the Midway towns. Yeah.
Right, okay. So tell us a little bit about how you see the commercial property market at the moment. What's going on? What's on trend? What isn't? Where are the issues?
Well, you summed it up pretty well earlier that people are just not sure what to do at the moment. Mm. Brexit's caused complete and utter chaos.
Yeah.
So nobody is doing anything, and that's not the way forward.
Yeah.
There is demand out there, particularly for small industrial units. There are entrepreneurs setting up businesses, people that have started from home.
Yeah, for sure.
Have grown too big.
Mm.
There's not enough supply out there because nobody wants to build. Banks don't want to lend to them.
In the different types of commercial property,
yeah.
Is there one particular area that has a bigger shortage than others?
We have a shortage of industrial property.
So is it industrial properties, yeah, warehouse units, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, smaller sizes. There's plenty of bigger stuff, but smaller startup units.
Right, okay. Obviously, for me, most of my businesses use office space rather than industrial space. Although, funnily enough, I've said this a few times, do you know, one of my dreams is to actually live in an industrial warehouse, to
really?
Convert it into
you
a house.
Last week, didn't
I don't know why, it just is. I've just always wanted to live in an industrial building. I don't
we'll
know
find
why.
It for you.
Yeah, thank you. For me, I've looked, not in Medway, because that isn't the area that I was looking in, but I've looked in Canterbury and Maidstone area in particular for the right kind of office space for me to purchase freehold.
Yep, you won't.
And I've been looking 4 years, so I haven't seen a thing.
There's an oversupply of offices in the wrong location and definitely not enough in the right locations. Maidstone that you mentioned there had a glut of second-hand offices 10 years ago, all of which is now residential.
Right.
You won't find a decent office unless you're going to have it constructed out of the town centre.
Right. Now, I don't want to be controversial, and I'm certainly not going to try and lead you into any difficult situations, but from my own personal experience of renting properties, and certainly properties in the centre of towns, it seems to me that our planning regulations are a bit archaic. I'll give you an example. I rented a property which happened to be designated A1, which is retail. And as we all know, retail properties on the high street, and it is in fact just about a high street property, and the local council refused to redesignate it. And then you get the government yesterday announcing a huge fund to regenerate the high street, and you think, what the hell are you playing at? If you stop messing about with your stupid planning regulations, you wouldn't need to regenerate the high street. We could all hire the places.
You know what you're doing? You're not using the right town planner.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you know, it was. I'll tell you a story about this because you'll like this, not a lot. When I acquired the premises that I've got, I had to change of use. So I contacted the local council, and they do a 500 quid consultancy thing where they come along for 500 quid and tell you whether you're likely to get the change of use.
Yeah.
And a chap came along and he said, "What do you want to change it to?" And I said, "Hot desk in community space." And he went, "I've got that in my book." I went, "No, well, I don't suppose you have." I was, when they wrote the book, yeah, they didn't have things like that. "Well, you can't change it then, can you?" I go, "Yeah, but it's just office space, you know, B1. "Oh, no." And I said to him at one point, because he kept saying to me, "Well, I can't answer this because I don't know." And his name was Brendan, bless him. And I said, "Brendan, do you know what? You could invent this. You could become the UK's leading town planner on hot desking spaces. And he went, oh, no, I don't want that.
You know, some of the problems that we have with town planning is that some of the people that work for local authorities, unfortunately, are just looking in the books and looking for the right thing to make in the book.
Yeah.
And the trick is to persuade them that your idea is the best idea, that it's going to regenerate the area, it's going to bring people in, it's going to bring investment in.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, that's where you're going to win. But sometimes you do hit a brick wall where the answer's going to be no.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to appeal it.
The stupidity of what I got with this is, no, it's in the retail plan already, so we can't change it.
Mm.
And you go, but you haven't got any shops.
It's not very forward thinking, is it?
No, it's not. And that's a lot for me. That's a lot of the restrictions that we have now. The high street is not dying. It's changing. But if your planning regulations don't allow it to change, then it can't change. And that's the biggest thing.
The whole dynamic needs to change, doesn't it?
They
need to refocus where the town centre actually is and start building better things at slightly further out of the town centre and concentrate on a core.
Absolutely. You know, there's some gorgeous buildings. There's some gorgeous retail buildings in town centres that can be used for alternative uses other than retail.
Absolutely. But, and I think hot desking is probably one of them. I think people would absolutely die for that.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a huge... I mean, in Canterbury, I own Fruitworks. We have 120 businesses there. We're full. I could fill it twice over. You know, that's where a lot of the demand for start-up offices are. But the thing we have, and this is where you guys come in as well, I guess, is once people have started up in our place, eventually they want to move into their own units, and that's where it becomes really difficult.
There's nowhere for them to go on to.
There's nowhere for them to move into in terms of the next stage of office art. And you say also, funnily enough, a friend of mine was moaning about this very thing. He was looking for industrial premises in West Kent, and he was saying that there's just nothing, you know, from where he was in Sevenoaks until you get to Paddock Wood, there isn't anything at all. It doesn't even exist, let alone on the market. So, you know, that kind of emphasises what you were saying.
Yeah, there's nobody constructing. There was a disparity between rents and capital values. So banks just weren't lending on it because the investment value just didn't stack up. So nobody was prepared to take that risk.
Right.
We've seen it start with some construction companies in Medway. They are actually building on their own land.
Right.
But there's very few outside investors prepared to put that kind of capital into development at the moment.
And this is one of the problems, isn't it? Because with anything, any piece of land now, because it's so easy, you don't really need planning permission. You stick houses on it.
You would. You'd make more money out of
it. And you make a fortune. Yeah, and you make a fortune quickly. So everything is going to housing. And whilst we definitely need housing as well in this country, we need places for people to work when they live there as well.
And you see with the housing estates, they are often required to put retail on the ground floor of a lot of blocks of flats. But most of those premises are actually constructed to be converted back to flats because they know they're not going to attract a shop into that area.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're creating our own problem. You're not putting office in there. You're not creating a small industrial hub. Where do people go?
It's crazy, isn't it? But there you go. I guess there's not a lot we can do about it apart from keep on keeping on.
We've got to keep plugging out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So as town planners, what kind of things are you called on to do, Denise?
It's a variety of things from mainly residential because that's where the demand is.
Right.
So people are looking at converting rear gardens. They're looking at doing extensions. They're looking at changes of uses. There's a whole variety of stuff at the moment.
Cool. It's hard to know where to go. I saw this a while back when I was having an argument on social media about this, that, and the other, and somebody made reference to this, and I thought, no, that can't be true. So I checked. It turns out, and this is a fact, and I just couldn't believe it until I read the website on the ONS, that less than 10% of England is actually built on.
Yeah.
That's staggering, isn't it? Because when you look around, you think, wow, everything's got a building on it. But that when it says built on, it doesn't mean just houses and offices and flats and industrial units. Roads, car parks, railway lines, airports, everything. Less than 10% of England is actually built on. Where do you sit with this argument at the moment about Greenbelt?
I'm not a great fan, I have to admit. I would much rather see brownfield development. But there is very little incentive for people to go in and develop on brownfield land. it's a lot easier for somebody to buy a field and develop on that. Sometimes it's necessary.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are very, very good justification for it.
Mm.
I'd rather it didn't happen. But unfortunately, I think the demands we've got on England now to provide housing means that we have to move out into the fields.
Yeah. I mean, luckily here in Ashford, they're building huge amounts of homes, a lot of it on greenfield sites, but they're also building on brownfield sites as well. In fact, they're building on absolutely everything.
They are.
And that's a reasonable thing. Again, arguing with the same people, I also saw that a lot of what are designated as greenfield sites aren't very green. Mm. Like there was one in West London, which is actually a disused petrol station that is designated as a greenfield site, but it's just a broken up piece of concrete.
Presumably to create a gap between residential
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you do get those strange anomalies. So the kind of work that you're doing in that, what does that involve, Denise?
Well, we'll go and talk to the customer about what they want to do, have an initial meeting with them and work out what their thoughts and ideas are. We'll take that to the pre-application stage, so very similar to what you did with the local authority planner.
Yeah.
Talk to the planners, find out if it's going to be possible, and then create a planning application around that.
Okay.
Encourage for the drawings to be drawn up and do the full submission right the way through to the granting of the consent.
Okay, cool. So, exactly what I had to do with my place, which was a laugh. it was quite bizarre because, and I want to move on to the next thing that I want to talk to you about, based on my experience of this as well. Actually, the premises that I acquired were actually part of the premises I already had.
Right.
It was it's a big Victorian warehouse. Mm. And I had half of it, and I acquired the other half.
Yep.
And the half I had was B1, and the half I didn't have was A1. And they wouldn't convert the half I didn't have back to B1, which is what it had been before, because it was in their retail plan. So that was stupid to start with. It was also fairly strange because it's actually two separate buildings. And once I did start to occupy it, the rateable value officer came along and went, this is one building. And we went, well, no, it's not. One, it's got two separate addresses. Two, it's got two separate entrances. And three, and this is the most important bit, the leases are different. Mm. And they went, no, it's one place. And they put my rates up, my business rates up by 400%.
Yeah. They have no obligation to talk to the other departments and
they're kicking me out. And I just felt that was outrageous. But, you know, they didn't want to look at the logic of what was there. They just wanted to look at a map and go, nah, that's one building. But it actually isn't. And my question to them is, seeing as one lease expires 3 years before the other and I move out, what are you going to do then? Yeah, you're going to have to go back to it being one building, to being two buildings. So is that something that you guys get involved in raceable valuations?
We don't do racing assessments, unfortunately, no. It's an incredibly complex, very long process.
Yeah, it's a pain, isn't it? Yeah. And it's another one of those things where the government said, oh, do you know what, we're going to simplify this, and what they actually did was make it worse.
I think anyone understands it.
Yeah. There's no logic to it at all, really. I pay more business rates than Tesco's.
I'm not surprised.
In the town I am, yeah. Ridiculous, isn't it? Anyway, ranty over. So from a business point of view, talking about Michael Parks as a business, what kind of size business are you? You've been going nearly 40 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's seven of us in the company.
Seven, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Are you all kind of town planners and surveyors? And
there's two valuers. There is Emma, who does my agency and property management.
Right.
There, who assists her. Peter does our town planning.
Okay. So the property management you do, did you say you did domestic property management as well?
Do domestic property management and block management, so blocks of flats and commercial property.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I understand. Okay. And that's an interesting kind of market to be in at the moment as well, because in this country, we went, once upon a time, we had the highest density of owner-occupiers in Europe, and now we're one of the lowest. Mm-hmm. In the space of like 40 years, mostly because of house prices.
Down to affordability.
Yeah, exactly. So from your point of view, what's the rental market like at the moment?
very flat at the moment.
Is it?
The rental market's changed with landlords not being allowed to charge fees to tenants any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the tenant fee ban is just all that's being talked about.
Right.
So tenants, quite rightly, are waiting until after the 1st of June to see what's going to happen.
Mm.
They don't want to pay fees today.
Yeah.
Why should they? So they're all waiting. So we are yet to see whether there's going to be a sudden influx of people looking for property. And I suspect there will be.
Right.
Whether it will exist is another matter.
Well, that's the interesting thing as well, isn't it? Because the government have looked at taking away some of the landlords' rights in terms of what they call eviction and what landlords call end of tenancy. Yeah. and do you think that's going to have a big impact on the market? Are people going to stop renting properties?
No, I don't think so. I think it gives people more security. If you make it harder for a tenant to be evicted, then there's going to be a lot more security for tenants.
Right.
The whole of the rental market's been shaken up recently anyway because of the buy-to-let tax rules. There are landlords exiting the market all over the place.
Yep.
I think there's going to be a problem with not being able to find the right supply for tenants to move into.
Yep.
So if we've got the 1st of June coming in where tenants suddenly say, right, I don't pay any fees, I need to move into a new property, where are they actually going to go? There's no landlords around.
Mm.
We've got a problem.
Mm. Fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Yeah. It's property is a really important part of the economy, both domestic property and business property. I don't think we attack it properly from a structural point of view, from an infrastructure point of view.
We're thinking too small.
Mm.
You know, they're worried about how much money you're going to earn from it. Actually, you're providing a home for somebody, but then we'll create an economy.
Mm. Absolutely.
That, to me, is what we should all be working towards, is how can we create a great economy?
Yeah, exactly. And community. How do you create a community? It's exactly as Denise said. You know, you build a block of flats and you put shops underneath it. You go, what do you do that for? You know, because another part of the government is telling us that nobody's got shops, so that you've got to spend taxpayers' money rejuvenating the high street, whatever that means, because nobody can, you know, retail's dead. You buy everything online now. So why are you building new shops that you can't fill? Why don't you put something more useful there, like a gym or, you know, an office or something? So again, we come back to my contention that the planning regulations are not joined up, and they're certainly not fit for the 21st century because they were devised too long ago.
Is there a vision? Is there a clear vision that we are all working towards with this?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody knows where they're going.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the same thing. You know, you talk about community. What is a community these days?
Yeah.
It's all changed completely.
Yeah.
And developers don't necessarily take that into account when they're building. It's different, I think, in student communities, because you can see that there are more facilities provided for them. You know,
you will have a gym.
And then they charge them 1.5 times more than anything in itself. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's a market. The student market is a different market, isn't it? Because it's a captive market. You know, if you're at a university in a particular town and you're going to live there, they know you've got the money because you borrowed it from the government. And they know how much you've got because you borrowed it from the government. So they know how much they can take off you. So that's a kind of different market to any of the rest of the markets.
Yeah, I look at blocks of flats that are being built now and think, you know, every time I go in and look at one to value it, I think, you know, is this somewhere I really want to live? But most of them look as though you go in, you go through the communal areas, you go through the front door, and that's it. You don't see anything else. You don't see other people. So I think we're missing something.
But that's how we're living now.
It is.
We don't, you know, do we actually go and say hello to our neighbours anymore? Do we invite them over? Do we have a street party that we used to have 20, 30 years ago? We just don't have communities anymore.
Well, I don't have neighbours.
Well, you do.
Yeah, but
they're a long way away, though.
They're
just sheep.
Yeah, my neighbours are all sheep. They are. That is very true. It's interesting, though, isn't it? And then added on top of that, because we're having a rant about all of this, is, of course, broadband infrastructure and how poor that is, especially, well, I was going to say, in rural areas. But
pretty bad in town centre.
But it's bad in town. I mean, it's bad. Canterbury is the number one digital city outside of a metropolitan area in the UK, and there's no fibre in the centre of Canterbury. It's all copper still. It's ridiculous. So bit of ranty stuff there. But
I always quite like these things, though, because I say this at home. We didn't have Wi-Fi for a little bit, and I was like, first world problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the honesty of these things.
Yeah, actually, no, it isn't, because the third world is better at it than we are in the first world.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. No, they truly are.
They're not.
No, they truly are.
They're not.
I can get a better 4G signal. No, I can get a better 4G signal in Uganda in the bush than I can in
I'm telling you, run to Rwanda. I'm telling you, there was hardly anything there, so it's nonsense.
Denise, thank you so much for joining us and giving us an insight into where we are specifically in the commercial property market, but also with house rentals. We wish you continued success at Michael Parks. Keep on doing what you're doing. If people want to find out more about your services and the things you do, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you've got a website, which is michaelparks.co.uk. Parks with an E at the end.
Fantastic. So Michael Parks, P-A-R-K-E-S,
That's right.
.co.uk. Do check them out. Do have a look at what they're doing. Do have a look at the property. They've got some fabulous properties there, commercial properties. They've got some gorgeous stuff. Did you say it was former armoury, new missions place you got up there?
Beautiful buildings.
It's fantastic. Isn't that
there's
a gorgeous
a lot of
building?
History down there. Yeah. And beautiful views over the river.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, there's where you're going to go and live now.
Yeah. Go and have a look.
Great radio studio.
Great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be good. Cool. Anyway, look, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And when we're back, we've got another guest to talk to. So let's hear from the news.
On the hour, Channel Radio News Update.